Blake Ruffino on Wednesdays. Checks in here, and we talk college football. We start with LSU, and then we see where it goes. Tell you what, Blake, that Arkansas game, I was studying LSU because I was wondering. They showed me some quit in that Auburn game, so I wanted to see where they were, and there was no quit in them. They fought. They fought and pulled that game out.
Yeah, Bill, I was really surprised by LSU defensively. Look, Bill, you had 8 drives for LSU where they either forced a 3-and-out or there was 4 plays and a punt. I mean, hell of a game for them. And look, people will go and look at this game and say, well, Arkansas scored 24 points. But, Bill, really and truthfully, you had Derek Stingley, Elias Ricks, Mo Hampton, 3 of your starting 5 defensive backs go out, and you give up 10 points. Let me tell you something. For all the people who don't cover or watch LSU, Bo Pelini's defense is starting to turn around. Now, Bill, I'm with you on the Auburn game. They gave up, you know, in that second half. But if you look at that first half, LSU gives up 2 key turnovers by T.J. Finley, 1 pick 6, and the fumble that gets them to the 1-yard line. That's 14 points that was generated. Bill, if that doesn't happen, are you going into halftime against Auburn 7-3? I don't know if this – Bill, personally now, I feel that this defense is starting to change. Jay Ward at the end of the game – or in the beginning of the game got burned and then had a pass interference call. He turns around in the second half and comes up with a huge hit to draw the ball loose on an incomplete pass and then blocks a field goal. Bill, Ed Orgeron said yesterday that Bo Pelini had been working that play because he knew that Arkansas was going to run down on a key third down and was screaming it from the sideline on that key third down. They had a couple of key stops at the goal line to force Arkansas to kick field goals, one that was missed and one that they made there at the end. So I was really impressed, Bill, from a young team. They showed energy, and something we talked about last week, I thought if this team would just come out with some energy, they have the talent to do it, and I was pretty impressed.
Blake Ruffino with us. Now the Aggies are on deck, and a team hadn't played in a few, but their resume has been getting better with each game.
Yeah, and Bill, I've been a little bit wrong on them. Something that, you know, again, as a former offensive lineman that I'm going to look at first, Bill, I think they've given up only 2 or 3 sacks all season. That is highly impressive. The biggest thing for LSU this week that scares me is that Texas A&M likes to get the ball out to their running backs and tight ends. Wattemeyer is a big body guy, 6'5", 265. And that is Kellerman's favorite target. LSU's linebackers and safeties have struggled. The linebackers have really come into their own. Bill, of the 6 games, this defense just generated 6 interceptions, but they're going to have to stop the running backs and tight ends this game if they even have a shot. They've shown progress, but if they don't even come close to slowing them down, it's going to be a long night for Tiger fans. But, Bill, LSU defensive line, something that is coming and we're seeing is they've been able to stop the run. Now, Arkansas in the second half turned it on. Auburn turned it on them in the second half. But, Bill, if you look at these games in a deep dive, teams aren't able to run on LSU very effectively. If LSU is able to stop Texas A&M from running the football and you put the game solely on Kellerman's shoulders, what does he do? I think that LSU is going to try to stop the run and make him beat you, and they're going to have to find a way to generate some kind of pressure, which they did against Arkansas last week.
Anything that jumped out to you regarding the committee's initial playoff release Tuesday night?
Yeah, I think as everybody would think, Ohio State not being above Clemson, I was kind of just not shocked, but just surprised. Bill, last year, and look, I'm not really big with the ratings. You know, I think until the end, it doesn't really matter anyway. Just TV ratings, but you know, LSU fans last year were throwing a hissy fit Bill, because they were keeping LSU at 2, and we're like, hey, we've only just beaten 5 top 10 teams in the season. I don't know what these guys or what they judge. You know, you look at BYU, I don't know what they're even looking at. I mean, because you can't look at the analytics because they're blowing everybody out. You can't really say, Bill, that they haven't played anybody because Alabama's only beaten one ranked team. You can't throw that against them. And to my knowledge, Clemson's only beaten, what, one ranked team as well and lost to another? So I'm just surprised that how the rankings shaked out. I guess Ohio State not doing good last week. Just the committee didn't want to put them above Clemson. And I mean, I know they've only played 4 games, but Indiana took it to them there at the end. But that, I think that was the biggest surprise. And another surprise, Bill, and I would have to go check this, is Cincinnati in the first poll. I think Cincinnati is a group of 5 team, is the highest ranked team that we've had in these rankings to start off. So I would be interested to see how it, I don't think they can squeeze in, but if they keep winning, what happens to them?
Do you anticipate the Iron Bowl being better than Alabama favored by 25.5?
Yeah, Bill. You know, we talked about that, or I talked about that at length last night. Of the last 20 games in the Iron Bowl, Auburn leads the series 11-9. Even sometimes Auburn's game or team is kind of bad, so that game gets out of hand. But for whatever reason, this game always seems to be close. I don't know if Bo Nix and this offense could get it moving and score with Alabama. I would pick Alabama in the game. But the 20-point spread, Bill, I think it's going to be a little bit closer than that. I just think that both of these teams have a hated rivalry. I mean, you look at LSU, I mean, from what I've seen just from the fan perspective and from the player perspective, it's rivalry week, Bill. People are talking about these games being, you know, really lopsided, and sometimes they are, but sometimes most of these games are really close. So I would lean Alabama. I don't think anybody's going to slow them down. But at the same time, I just wouldn't pick Alabama in the points. But I'm also not Brad Powers making buku's amount of money from this either, Bill, so I don't know.
Blake Ruffino checks in every Wednesday with us. And we'll let you know how you can get all his shows and see his work. We're talking college football. Are there any new news items regarding the quarterback availability at LSU other than Finley?
Yeah, Max Johnson was available last week. You know, Bill, I've talked about this ad nauseum, and I think it's just because I've covered TJ Finley so much. But, Bill, the last drive of that game for Arkansas last week, you had a true freshman quarterback on the road go 3 of 4 for 44 yards and a touchdown. He should have been 4 of 4. The one touchdown that they called an incompletion should have been the touchdown to start off with. But I think, Bill, that everyone is talking about, we want to see Max, and I get that. But he's not better than TJ Finley right now. He's just not. Bill, if you can't force the ball down the field and complete passes down the field, you're going to get your butt beat. And Max struggles with getting the ball down the field. TJ Finley does not. And I get that he is not like Max Johnson when it comes to the mobility, but he's shown that he has the escapability and to be able to move around in the pocket and create big plays for the offense. Bill, something that I'm trying to get sourced a little bit better. Miles Brennan, they want him to have surgery. They don't want him to have surgery. I think that there's a lot of back and forth here. So I don't think he will be back for this season. It looks very doubtful. But there is some talk that he could possibly try to make his way back. But every time he goes out there and throws, Bill, I knew that he threw on Monday. And he still had a little bit of pain, but it was more manageable. So it's development that we're starting to run down.
What are your Thanksgiving plans? What does the Ruffino family do for Thanksgiving?
Oh, Bill, now I'm getting ready. You know how us Louisianians do. We're going to fry some turkeys. Right. I know that we're going to have some gumbo. I don't know who's going to do the roux. Maybe I'll do it with some melted butter and flour. Bill, I heard you right before we came on with the gumbo. I always look forward to a good gumbo after Thanksgiving, but Bill, something you might want to, and this is just a Louisiana thing maybe, yep. but some people put some potato salad in for the rice with their gumbo. That's actually not too bad. I never grew up doing that, but some people do it.
Wow.
And just the some traditions. I love oyster dressing. I love it. I'm looking forward to that. But everything, look, I just sit back and I eat, Bill. I mean, my wife, she, God bless her soul. This is the best day of the year for the Ruffino family. I'm going to tell you that right now. But I always look forward to, Bill. It's kind of a tradition that we do. At the end, we'll watch a football game at the end of the day and maybe make a turkey sandwich or do something like that. So, all the things, but always looking forward to the gumbo and some oyster dressing.
Speaking of the roux, we try and use, and I've already got some stored up, bacon grease for it. It really turns out well. Have you tried that?
Yeah, I have never done it, Bill, but I know some people that have, and it's I like that. I just go the traditional, you know, butter, flour, and things like that. Some things I do to make the roux a little bit spicier, I'll get a little bit of Tony's and throw it in there just to get a little bit of spice in that roux. And let it just sit there, but I just do a traditional, maybe a bay leaf in it. But I mean, I don't get too crazy with my roux. I let the meat and just the meat and the Holy Trinity, Bill, the green onions, the bell peppers, and the celery. I let the Holy Trinity do its work.
He mentioned Tony. That's Tony Satchery. It's spelt funky. It doesn't look like it's Satchery, but that's what you're referring to there. Just for everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to there. I mean, Bill, the four things that every Louisiana person has in their house, Tony Satchery's and the Holy Trinity of bell pepper, celery, and green onion. That's the Holy Trinity. If you're going to come up in this house and start cooking and you don't have those four things, you might as well turn around and get out.
If anybody wants, you can go to YouTube and pull up some of those Tony Satchery commercials from, I don't know if they run them anymore, but you can pull them up, and they're pretty good, actually. Do they still run those in Louisiana, those commercials?
Bill, you bring that up, and that's a good point. I haven't seen a Tony Satchery's commercial in probably 8 years.
I know.
But they always came out with the good ones. They would come out with a priest. You know how the Super Bowl has these funny commercials? And they used to come out with one right before, and they were always hilarious. But they don't run them anymore.
Blake, tell everybody how they can get your shows.
Yeah, Bill, y'all have a happy Thanksgiving, my man. But everybody can go watch our shows at AYS Network on Facebook, RU Series Sports on Twitter and YouTube. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, go rate and subscribe there. A lot of listens and viewers have been trickling over to our podcast, so we're really fired up with that. After Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing a giveaway for everybody who goes and likes the page on Facebook. So everybody go do that, and we'll be in a drawing for a giveaway coming up soon.
Blake, see you next week, sir.
You too, Bill. Happy Thanksgiving.